Irish Junior Eurovision final was very much a local affair, with Niamh Nod and Claire Keeley also performing in the final, with all three finalists coming from the Newry-based Flynn Performing Arts. So congratulations to you all. It was a fantastic achievement. I also want to congratulate the council team on the third of our giant adventures at Halloween, with the hugely successful Footsteps in the Forest at Slieve Cullion. It was a fantastic sellout event and was enjoyed by all. Thanks also to the team at Sticky Fingers in Newry, who set the Wicked Witches on me for the Halloween parade in Newry, and enjoyed my time being locked up in a cage for the parade, but thankfully they let me out eventually. Special mention must also go to the Impadraig Community Collective, who organised a fantastic Halloween event which also attracted huge crowds to Impadraig on Halloween night, and to Newcastle Community Cinema for delivering a fantastic weekend of events at the hugely successful Hallowtides Festival in Newcastle. Praise also to those who organised Halloween events in Ballinahinch, Coolock, Warren Point, Newton, Hamilton, Arglass, and other areas across our district to make this Halloween an extra special one. I also want to congratulate Sean Gordon from Downpatrick, who was awarded Ulster second place in the Irish Dance Championship. Well done, Sean. A big well done to Kilcoo on winning the Down Senior Football Championship, and Cross MacLean on winning the Armagh Senior Football Championship. A special mention to Savile GAC on ending a 27-year wait to win the Down Intermediate Championship. And congratulations also to Connacht on winning the Down Junior Football Championships. Well done also to Jack Turley from Savile, who won the Ulster Junior B handball title, and Zach Hanna from Steve Krug area, who was placed in the World Mountain Running Championships in Thailand. And also to all the local teams and individuals at underage level who've achieved great sporting success in the last month. Well done.
Vermont. Sure, I'm sorry, I have no laptop with me tonight.
Briefly, Henry.
Yeah, there was a young lad, Adam McKibben from Annalong, who won
Ballymartin.
Ballymartin.
He
won his group in the All Ireland Boxing Championship. He was runner up in the All Ireland. In his age group. So
very good. Congratulations, Adam.
I mentioned it was a good achievement for him.
Right, no problem at all. Sorry. Charlie.
Chair, if you don't mind bringing me in on something similar, could we council acknowledge the efforts of Conor Duffy, Cormac Duffy, his father Paddy worked quite near morning down to City Council for a number of years. His son climbed Kilimanjaro and raised very much needed funds for Pips and Newry. And one other thing, you mentioned Babson there, could we also acknowledge the fact that Conor Wallace, who's now currently on Australia, won a world title in the last number of days, so family acknowledge that.
Absolutely, Charlie, and we're happy to send a letter to Conor and congratulate him on what was a fantastic achievement. Councillor Murphy?
It was Shane O'Neill's won the Armagh County Intermediate as well in the final, so just thought they should get a mention too. Okay, thanks, sir.
Absolutely, no problem at all. Okay.
Sorry, Chair.
Sorry, I'm kind of agree. Go ahead,
Rosie. Chair, could I just ask a question? The event in Newry, the Sticky Fingers event, was there any council money went towards that? Yeah, it's just there was a significant amount of press, both in social media, and I didn't see a single mention of any contribution from financial support coming from council. And, you know, I don't want the public in Newry to think that the council didn't spend money in Newry this Halloween. And I saw quite a lot in social media and in various different media outlets, and there was no mention of the funding having come from council. And I think that is a great injustice to the council and indeed to the people of Newry, because, you know, the council is spending money in Newry City and it should be acknowledged. So I just want confirmation from yourselves whether or not we did support that financially.
Conor, respond to that, Rosie.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, the council did contribute towards that event through Sticky Fingers in Newry over Halloween.
Okay, everyone. So I'd like to welcome you to the meeting this evening. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure the mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question or C for a comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the chat facility so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Okay. Have we any apologies? None? Okay, declarations of interest? None. Okay. Item number three is the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 3rd of October. I go through it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Page 4, yeah. Can I have a proposer and seconder, please, for item 3 for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Andrews. Need a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Hannan. Okay. Any matters arising? No? Okay. Item number 4 are the minutes of the Council meeting held on the 3rd of October 2022. And I go through them for accuracy. Page 1. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, and page 12. Can I have a proposer for accuracy, please, and seconder? Councillor Stokes and Councillor Lee Surgener. Okay. Any matters arising?
Yes, Chairman.
Councillor Reddy.
Yeah, Chairman, it was just on the quite lengthy debate we had on the barriers up the skip sites, or the recycling centres. Apparently the app's still not up and running yet, and I'd be grateful if the Council would agree to open the barriers until the app's running. It's just we're continually getting complaints. I had an elderly lady who borrowed a Ford pickup and was sitting at the gates and just couldn't understand why they wouldn't let her in, so... If the council would do that, just until the app's up and running. Thanks, Chairman.
Right. Well, my understanding is there is a council decision that'll be up and running this month, middle of this month. Is that correct, Andrew? Yeah. Any other comments? No. Okay. Item number 5. The minutes of the special council meeting held on the 26th of September 2022, and I go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5. Can a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor McAvoy proposed, seconded by Councillor Lewis. Any matters arising? No. Okay. Item number 6 of the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 24th of October 2022. Go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3. Can a proposer and seconder please? Proposed by Councillor Lewis, seconded by Councillor Brennan. Councillor McMurray, you have a question?
Yeah, Chair,
Councillor Brennan wasn't at the meeting. Need another seconder, please. Somebody who was at the meeting. Councillor Hanlon. Okay. Matters arising then. Question from Councillor McMurray.
Leader, do you know or be an indication when DFI will respond to some of the questions that were raised through the clinics? I haven't had any response back yet. Maybe other councillors have, but I mean, it seems to be a prolonged period to get answers sometimes, Chair. Thank you.
I'll bring Marie in on that one.
Yeah, sure. We haven't been given any indication of when they will respond, but I'll follow it up tomorrow with the DFI lead.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? No. Okay, move on to item number 7, which is the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee held on the 10th of October 2022. I'll go through it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Can I have a proposer and seconder for accuracy, please? Catherine, one usual question. Sorry, Gary Stokes proposed and Councillor Hanna seconded. Matters arising. Councillor Owen.
Hi, thanks very much. It's just a couple of quick questions on planning. I was just wondering, I see from April to August that there's an average of 96 enforcement cases outstanding for over 5 years. I'm just saying, you know, is this something, that is a regular issue? Is it ongoing all the time? And then just as far as the cost to the council with these long outstanding, you know, enforcement cases. And then the second question is it normal that an average 14% of the planning cases take over 18 months? Is there any way that that can be streamlined as far as cost? Because it seems to take an awful long time. Thanks very much.
Okay, Connor, bring in that one.
Thanks, Chair. Performance improvement measures are in place across all the service areas and responsibilities of the planning department, including enforcement and including development management, to actually improve our timescales and improve our performance against the statutory targets. That's ongoing. It's showing improvement year on year. It's not where we want it to be, but it's moving in the right direction.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on item number 7? No. Okay, we'll move on to item number 8, which is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 13th of October 2022. Which is them for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8. Kind of proposer and seconder. Councillor Hanlon, Councillor Trainer, any matters arising? No. Okay. Move on to item number 9.
Yeah, Chair, can I come in there? Sorry. My chat's not working.
Councillor Clark, go ahead.
No, Chair, it's just in regards to the item that's on the agenda in regards to the strategic committees and looking to review them to allow the strategic working group or finance working group, giving them a slot, you know, in the evening time. My biggest concern and Champion's biggest concern.
That was a closed session item. Councillor Clark would have to go into closed session to discuss that matter.
Right, fair enough. I'm not going to discuss any detail, like, but it's your discretion, Chair.
Yeah, well, the decision was taken in closed session not to progress it anyway.
Yeah. That I want to talk to another committees.
Right, I'll just have to check here whether or not we'll have to go into closed session, Councillor Clark, but given the nature of the previous
discussion. Sure. Yeah.
Do you want to go into closed session?
Yeah.
Okay, can a proposer and seconder to go into closed session?
Okay. Councillor
Casey and Councillor Clark. Okay, just give us a minute and we'll go into closed session. Okay, folks, we presume then with item number nine, which is the meetings of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee.
Sorry, just to say that the agreement was made after. Yeah.
Apologies. On item number eight, closed session, it was agreed to proceed as per the minutes. Okay. Item number nine is the minutes of Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 17th of October 2022. I'll go through those for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Can I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed from Councillor McAteer. Seconder, Councillor Gallagher. Okay. And we have matters arising. Councillor McKevitt.
Sorry. Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Just going to make reference on page 6 under leisure review. Given the seriousness of the issue for service users around the Newry Leisure Centre, can I ask for an update on what is actually going on with Newry Swimming Pool? Thank you. And closures, sorry, sir.
Michael, can you come back in on that?
Okay, thank you, Chair. There's a detailed paper on the potential closure of Newry Swimming Pool coming to AHC this month. So I don't know if the councillor is happy enough to wait for that, but there are some investigatory works that need to be carried out in December time. And as I say, we'll bring in a detailed paper on that through AHC.
Okay, Karen, are you happy enough for that?
Chairman, I actually read quite a detailed report in the front of a local newspaper, and I just think it's shameful that our constituents had to read something like this in a newspaper, and councillors who even sit on the AHC committee were not informed. I'd like an explanation.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, It's unfortunate that we weren't able to get to AHC prior to talking to party reps on the matter, but an emergency situation came up where the tiles are popping on the bottom of the pool and we had to do something very quickly. This was on the back of an investigation by our consultant team who recommended that works needed to be carried out. So, yeah, apologies for that, but the first I could get a detailed report to AHC was this month.
Okay, Karen. All right. The next one up was Councillor Finnegan. Sorry if I missed you at the start of the list there. Go ahead.
I'll forgive you. Don't worry. Come here. Very quick question. Just in relation to the financial assistance, I had a group that has just come to me during the week. They were approved for the money, but like all with money, the money has run out or there wasn't enough money to extend to them. What is the position for them at the minute? Could I get that clarified, please?
Go ahead, Michael.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, as with every year, once we have completed the calls for the year, we then review the budgets to see if there's any money left over which can be reallocated. Also, councillors will be aware that we're coming up to the rate setting process and the strategic finance working group is also looking at what monies are available, where savings can be made and what can be reallocated. So that review is ongoing and the result of that will be brought back to AHC.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Charlie?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I just want to support Jeremy McKevitt, Councillor Jeremy McKevitt, what you said there. I mean, councillors like myself and Newry councillors have long standing, berated on the street by our own ratepayers, wanting to know what the situation was with Newry Pool. And I don't want to raise and prolong the issue, but it's important that people know that it has been an issue right across the town. And the information got out there, how it got out there, we don't know because we were never told about it. I take on board what Michael has said about the paper being prepared, which will come on our screens maybe next week sometime, but that's not good. And I don't accept that. The fact that the information got out, and even told that people are, staff are being transferred to Newry Kilkeel Leisure Centre when eventually Newry Leisure Centre does close down, but the work to be done, and I accept it. the fact that the tiles are cracked or broke and they need to be repaired. But it's not good enough that the councillors are not informed step by step as to what's happening. And unless you're Santa's only, what, 6 year old? It was third biggest in the, on the island of Ireland when it was opened a number of years ago. Now all you heard was bad press on it. So thanks very much for that, Chair, for letting me in.
Okay, well, I think Michael has outlined his position on that, and we will endeavour to bring the paper on to detailed paper to AHC. But I think you've taken on board the comments. I think you've taken on board the comments of Councillor Sharon.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I couldn't make the meeting. I was unavailable, but under the financial assistance AHC 169/2022, I read that we're now planning to take a new approach in how we deal with the major sports capital grant. Chair, you know, obviously we're all mindful of the extra financial cost that it is for any club group to deliver any change, and we as a council ourselves experience it, but whenever you consider biannual, so every 2 years ultimately a group will have to apply, so they might have everything in place but actually they don't need the full 200,000 that we're going to potentially offer. It may be 75,000 from the council. What we all from experience, and I've sat on AHC for most of my 11 plus years on this council, there's many of the ones that have applied that have not been successfully awarded a grant because another projects and other projects have scored higher. And obviously, you know, that is through a criteria that is set that we all agree to. But that group then needs to wait another 2 years to wait and see would they get it again. But some of the clubs that got it 2 years previous could potentially apply again and also get the maximum 200,000. You know, there's potentially a quality issue within that particular clubs who are in a much better financial state than some of our rural clubs. You know, I can think of some locally who wouldn't necessarily have the financial power to be the word to have all this in place, whereas other clubs would. You know, is this really the right decision that we're making here? Should not be that we as a council would look to increase the financial assistance on an annual basis of what the maximum is. It doesn't necessarily need to be 200,000. It could be 150 every annual year, and that's something that we within the race process would need to consider. Because the other question I had is when will this new approach start? If we agree to this tonight at council, it's not in call one, which it typically normally would be. This year would be coming out in December, and most clubs are lining up probably already to start applying. Those that have been getting their plan applications are waiting for this grant to come out. But actually, it's not going to be released, as one of the reports in the committee states. It's not going to be one of the things. So, Chair, I would sort of urge a bit of consideration, maybe another review of this decision to see if this truly is the right approach. Because I'm assuming the minor sports capital grant will stay and will be an annual basis. So anything that's below 50,000 will get 75%. But are we truly sure that we want to wait and ask clubs that have a bigger project more than that to wait every 2 years and access it? As our sports strategy report identified, a lot of our sports clubs actually depend on the council financial assistance programme. So are we actually going to sort of stop development within our sports arena in this district by taking this approach?
Michael, do you want to come back on that?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Look, I'm quite happy to bring a report this month on this for another discussion at AHC, if that's what the Council so wishes. I know there was a bit of debate at the previous AHC meeting that this minute refers to. So I'm quite happy to do that, if that assists.
Okay, guys. Right, okay. Thanks, Michael.
Chair.
Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was just on, really, I suppose, an interim question on the very last item on the report. I had raised about the aluminium content in Drummer Road treatment plant out the road there. And but I see Owen Devlin, Assistant Director, was to seek clarification of whether the timeline was up to scratch or not. So I presume maybe we would wait to the next AHC meeting for that, or was there any word back in the interim?
I presume it'll be the next AHC, Michael, that'd be correct?
Yeah, the next AHC, okay. Doug.
Thank you. Okay. Councillor Murray.
Yeah, Chair, just a point I was going to make. Gareth went through 4 or 5 minutes there of talking about the exact debates that were had at AHC. And I know he said he started by saying he couldn't make the meeting, and that's well and good. But, you know, he's a member of a group that was represented at the meeting. The points that he raised were all raised at the meeting as well. You know, there was nobody. It maybe looks a bit misleading in the way the minutes come out, that there's maybe 2 or 3 lines saying it was agreed in the proposal of Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Hare, to approve new financial assistance arrangements for Force Capital. It doesn't say. There was a fairly lengthy debate about the pros and cons. The people who proposed it and seconded it asked multiple questions from the director, asked whether what the potential impact this was going to have on groups, what the potential impact this was going to have on the rates process, what the pros were going to be for us as councillors and for groups, and what the negatives were going to be. So I know Michael said he'll put it on the agenda for next month's AHC again, and I don't mind that. Like, put it on again and let's take a look at it again. You know, it's not that anything was just taken on a whim, Gareth. Everybody had a chance to have their say on it, and I know, as you say, you weren't at the meeting, but you know, you have to some sort of trust in those that are at the meeting that were trying to make the right decisions. But take it again if you want.
Okay, so just for the record then, proposed by Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Murray, that a review paper be brought in relation to AHC 169 2022 at the next AHC meeting. Okay? Everyone content? Okay, thank you. Item number 10 of the minutes of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting, which took place on the 18th of October. I go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8. Sorry. Page 6. Page 7, sorry. Yes, up as far as page 7. Can I propose and second for action? Councillor Stokes, Councillor Andrews. Okay, any matters arising? Item 10. No matters arising. Okay. Move on to item number 11, which is the planning section minutes. And I'll assume for accuracy. Page 1. Proposer and seconder, please. Proposed Deirdre McAteer. Can I have a seconder, please? Somebody's on that committee. Councillor Hannah, thank you. Any matters arising? No. Okay. Item number 12 relates to Warren Point Harbour Authority and councillor positions. This comes, the vacancy has come up since, I think it was Cathy Mason.
Yeah, so Chair, the letter is attached for information, and this is a public appointment process. This position was previously held by Cathy Mason as a member of Sinn Féin. Previous decision of council was to have representation from the parties, so it's seeking nominations for the public appointment process. And as I said, this is in relation to just Cathy Mason's position that she had held. The other positions remain unchanged.
Any comments, questions? Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, Chair, the Chief Executive answered my question because the letter wasn't extremely clear if this was a direct replacement for Sinn Féin to pick for Taffy or if other parties can, but I'm happy enough.
Councillor Murray?
Yeah, Chair, just I suppose on the back of what you are saying there as well, we would love it if it was just as straightforward as we could have nominated a replacement for Taffy. We certainly looked into that at the time. And it wasn't to be. So there, it looks like there's going to be another set of interviews for it or whatever. So Marie, we'll certainly be putting at least one, possibly two people forward for that.
Okay, right.
Chair, just to Councillor Murray, we do need the names tonight. And just for clarity, the department are seeking nominations. The post is the position that Cathy Mason had held previously.
Okay, Barak, can you make sure those are through this evening?
I will indeed, yeah.
Tomorrow morning, okay. Okay, Councillor Enright.
Are we nominating people for this, or is that what we've been asked to do?
Yeah, that's
a fact. Nominating Charlotte Tinley.
Chair, DUP will not be nominating anybody.
This is just for clarity for people. This is a public appointments process. So what we're doing is we're putting forward names. There is an application process that has to be gone through and a full interview process as well. So,
Chairman, this is Councillor Tinley. Can I come in there?
Yes, Charles, go ahead.
Listen, I wasn't expecting Cadogan to do what he's done there, and my thanks to him for doing that, but in the spirit of what was intended at the start of the term, I believe this position should be going to a Sinn Féin councillor, so I don't wish to be considered. Thank you.
Okay, duly noted, Jarlath, thanks for your intervention. Thank you. Councillor Owen.
That's all I was wanting to clarify was there just seemed to be a wee bit of confusion with everybody looking at each other here in the room. So I was just wanting to double check, you know, is it a case of good grace? It was a shit held by a Sinn Féin councillor and therefore should in good grace remain a Sinn Féin councillor. Yeah. Is pretty much probably where we would fail. But I'm just wanting to double check the clarity in the room because there certainly seems to be a wee bit of confusion.
Yeah, it is in effect. There were two members put forward by Sinn Féin at the time. Those members were Cathy Mason and Sean Dorn. I think I somebody has turned on their speaker. Okay. In previous scenario, I believe it's happened with another party where a member has stepped aside, but there was somebody the department could appoint in from that party. In this scenario, unfortunately, as you know, Sean Dorn had passed away, so it left no backfill, I suppose. So, yeah. So.
Okay. Hopefully, that's clarified. We'll move. Okay, members. Sorry, Councillor Givens.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I was just checking. I have a funny feeling because there was a discussion about this a couple of years ago when I attempted to apply myself. I think independents can't apply for the job. Unless something's changed, Chair, I don't know, Marie, if you can clarify, but I don't think independents can go for it anyway. Just if we would clarify that.
Okay. Yeah, sure, it was a decision of council around the nominations, and unfortunately, I don't have that decision in front of me. But I think it was two Sinn Féin, two SDLP, one DUP, and one UUP were the nominations that council wanted to put forward.
Maybe that excerpt from the minute could be forwarded to the members just for clarity. You're happy enough if we send that out to you, folks. Okay. Okay. We move on now to item number 13, which is a notice of motion. The first of a number that we're going to hear or discuss tonight. Number 13 on the agenda is Notice of Motion, Social Model of Disability. That's a motion received from Councillor Taylor. Councillor Taylor, this is going to be referred to the SPNR Committee, but would you like to read out your motion and tell me who's seconding it, please?
Yeah, thanks, Chair.
This council recognises that many forms of disability, including, for example, impairments of mobility, vision, hearing, communication, neurological issues, mental health issues, neurodiversity, learning disability and chronic illness can impact people's ability to access our services. It has a duty to ensure that every service and facility is fully accessible, providing access to resources and services that remove barriers. This council therefore agrees to promote a social model of disability, which says that people with impairments are disabled by the barriers operating in society which excludes and discriminates against them. Further commits to working with local businesses, community and service providers to ensure facilities and services are accessible for everyone, and will ensure that any new service or facility is developed using a co-design approach with disability organisations and local groups. Robert Burgess was listed as the seconder for that notice of motion, Chair. Now, Robert, I know that's been an NAC business, and he may be logged on, but if he isn't in a position to undo, Councillor McMurray will be seconding the motion if Robert isn't in a position to do that.
But Councillor McMurray, are you happy to second? Yeah, okay, duly noted. Okay, so that'll be going to the FPR. Thanks, David. Item number 14 is the notice of motion on the King's Coronation received from Councillor Lewis. This will be referred to the Good Relations Committee. And Councillor Lewis, would you read out your motion, please, and advise who will be seconding it? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. That this council recognises that many residents across Newry Morne and Down will welcome and celebrate the coronation of His Majesty the King. We note that the coronation has been announced for Saturday, the 6th of May 2023. To mark this occasion, we would ask that funding be made available for communities and organisations who wish to join together in recognition and celebration, and that's been seconded by Councillor Hanna.
Okay, thanks. Julie noted, and I'll be going to the Good Relations Committee. The next item is number 15, which is another notice of motion, government help with cost of living crisis. The notice of motion was received from Councillor Andrews, and this will be heard tonight. So, Councillor Andrews, can you read out your motion, speak to it, and advise who will be seconding it, please?
Thank you very much, Chair. At the onset of the motion, I'll be indicating that Councillor John Traynor will be seconding the motion. Over the past few months, and due to a variety of reasons and circumstances, we have seen price hikes and increases on a wide scale that have impacted severely on so many in our district, resulting in hardship and unable to make ends meet. Newry Morne and Down District Council demands that the government put in place much needed measures to provide much necessary help and support to residents of the district who have been affected by the cost of living crisis. If this motion is adopted, Council writes to the Prime Minister and Chancellor of the Exchequer in London and also the other 10 councils in Northern Ireland in listener support for this motion. Mr. Chairperson, in moving this motion tonight, from what members can see, the wording heralds and echoes very much the sentiments and concerns that are at the forefront of everyday concerns of the residents of our district. We are all affected by and impacted upon by price rises on a daily basis on everyday essentials, heating, oil, electricity, running the family car, food prices going through the roof, resulting in people having to make sacrifices or stark choices of what to do without either heat or eat. Food banks are kept busy and under so much pressure to try and deal with the upsurge in demand and cries for help for so many, including those coming to them for the first time ever in their lives. What is eye-watering are the hike and escalations of profits enjoyed by the multinationals and the fat cats receiving and enjoying their excessive bonuses going into their pockets, while so many are out of pocket and wondering where the next pound is going to come from. Drastic action and immediate mobilisation of resources and financial help needs to be put in place right away. What about the £400 that has been promised, not paid now? What about the £100 for oil that was promised, not paid now, and when it is needed most? Additional packages and support, essential especially for people who are working, low incomes, which bars them from the benefits, and what we need as well is an increase in national minimum wage to take into account this cost of living crisis. Wellington Assembly has been a standstill for months, especially in the crisis that we're all in, and nothing like this seen in recent memory. People are saying, we need our Assembly. We need our Assembly back in place to deal with this and to work in conjunction with the authorities in London. You know, and sum it up, Mr. Chairperson, the crisis that we're all in, nothing has been like this has been seen in recent memory. And again, summing it up, especially in such the times that we are in, I urge and seek the support of all in this chamber to back this motion and urge those in charge to get into gear and stand by our people in this time of hardship and uncertainty, especially in the onset of winter and the run-up to Christmas. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Chinner, you're seconding. Do you want to say a few words, or are you just happy to second?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and very happy to second this motion brought by Councillor Andrews. Chairperson, yes, there has been support packages that have been put in place over the last year, but the question has to be, have they done enough? I know most people around this chamber will know of constituents who have been contacting them, feeling the pressure, feeling the strain, asking what assistance. And the promised packages of support haven't been forthcoming. And what compounds this, as Terry has rightly pointed out, is a lack of devolved leadership. A lack of leadership at a time when people need it most. And there's only one thing I want to say, Chair, and it's to echo something that was said by the late John Hume. You can't eat a flag. We need our devolved institutions. We need decisions to be made locally. We need support to be made available at a local level by people who know the hardships that are being suffered by the people here in the north. And at this moment in time, it feels like we have to beg for scraps from a table, and that is unacceptable. Unacceptable in this time, in this day and age. It is totally unacceptable, Chairperson. And as Terry has rightly pointed out, there has been an increase in food bank usage. We've heard it from our own trust, where food banks are being set up for nurses and for staff in the NHS. Something has to give. And the Tory government that are in power at the minute have a lot to answer for the problems that we're facing. Whether it be to tank the economy, whether they be too late in providing support, whether they don't fulfil their promises, something has to give. Something has to give, because the people that we represent need help and they need support, and they need it now. They don't need it in January. They need it now, Chairperson. So I think this motion is... Well, it's very welcome, and it's came at a time when people are feeling the pinch.
Okay.
So I'll leave it at that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Chinner. Councillor Owen, you wanted to speak on the motion?
Yeah, thanks very much, Chairperson. So the DUP are supporting this motion. I do have to say, though, I'm glad to see that the SDLP finally realises that it's not the Northern Ireland Assembly or Executive that will be providing the necessary funding to help in the cost of living crisis due to the gaping £1 billion black hole in the public finances created under the watch of a Sinn Féin minister, but instead have the revelation that it is, in fact, the UK government that has the financial firepower to help those in need. This, of course, assumes that the Northern Ireland Protocol doesn't prevent the necessary state aid coming from the UK government into Northern Ireland, like that of the 5p VAT decrease in fuel duty. I am glad that the Sinn Féin and SDLP will help the DUP continue to lobby the UK government, who have the financial firepower to help us for greater funding for the Northern Ireland residents. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Owen. Bit of order, folks, please. Bit of order. Councillor Taylor.
Yep, thank you, Chair. Yep, happy to support the motion submitted by Councillor Andrews tonight. You know, it's obviously very relevant given the circumstances that we find ourselves in. I suppose there is frustrations about, you know, some of the support that has been, you know, offered so far, that we haven't actually got that as yet. We are where we are with that, but I think if the government is in a position to provide that support, they need to find a way to ensure that it comes into people's pockets directly and fairly quickly at this stage, because we're really hitting a crisis point in the coming weeks, you know, as we approach the depths of winter. At a recent committee meeting that I was at, you know, we had a suggestion brought forward by, I think it was Councillor Murphy, about a role that the council can play, obviously, and I know the local community organisations and churches are playing their own role in what support they can offer in the coming weeks and months ahead as well. And certainly the government should do that all that it can
My only fear is that we obviously are awaiting the autumn statement that will take place on the 17th of November, and I don't think any of us are expecting good news from that. We'll probably find a situation where the government will try and implement spending cuts, and we'll try and, you know, end up trying to probably provide as little as possible, given the situation that the finances are in, other than what has been provided so far. So any representations that we can make to try and encourage the government to you know, proceed with providing additional support, we should try to do that. I am concerned that it will fall on deaf ears, but certainly we should do, and it's our obligation to do that as elected representatives, to put as much pressure as we can on the government to provide as much support as they can to the people who are going to need that in the time ahead, because there's no doubt that a lot of people are going to be in dire straits financially, given the significant rise in energy costs, as an example, and even just general, you know, the general cost of living, you know, our groceries and whatever else that comes with that. We all see a significant increase in those bills in recent times. So the council, you know, if we can make representations to the Treasury and to the government, the Prime Minister, to do that, we should do that, and hopefully we can try and persuade them to look upon these requests positively. But it will be a tough period, there's no doubt about that. We all have a role to play in trying to deliver what we can for our constituents and ratepayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, no, I'd just like to say that Sinn Féin will support this motion. Thanks, Terry, for bringing it up. Now, it's unfortunate, you know, that the DUP has made a bit of party politics out of this. Very tempting to respond, but it's too serious of an issue for people to be facetious or even malicious or whatever with regards to it. The point is that we have lived under 10 years of Tory austerity, so I do not think we will be holding our breath waiting for the Tories to be benevolent. It's unfortunate that we have to go to the British government. That wasn't our choosing. But we did raise it at the last SPNR meeting, and I think it is important that we look closer to home, and that we, something similar to ABC, which they have outlined in recent days, that we come up with our own ideas of how we can use our own resources and our own facilities to try and mitigate against the worst effects of the cost of living crisis. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Murphy. Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. No, yes, indeed, broadly in support of the motion, and I thank Terry for highlighting and bringing it. I know Terry in these matters is incredibly sincere and for what he does. I was going to call it the elephant in the room, but I don't think it is the elephant in the room anymore, as it has been totally said out loud, and that is the continued stasis of our Assembly and the lack of an executive. You know, what could we be doing? Well, what could it be doing? Well, now again, as it's been raised here before, it's been raised in this council chamber before, anti-poverty strategies could be developed and could be could have been installed. An executive could proof all public policy and legislation for impact of fuel poverty, as well as being on the well-being of the entire population. It could target interventions to ensure people have access to affordable and healthy food. Again, I'm not sure I haven't quite got around to fact-checking some of the things that Councillor Owen said. I know Mr. Poots doesn't quite like fact-checking, but there you go. Also, the thing about it as well is, Chair, as well, you know, the Scottish and the Welsh can get these things out, and, you know, we're stifling. And the thing about it is, Chair, I'm a Democrat, I'm a devolutionist. It is utterly shameful that we have no either an executive or an assembly, and that is down, whether that be down to this party or one party or any party. It is just, it's a disgrace. It is a true disgrace. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. We've had all the main parties speaking in favour of it. I presume from that everyone's in favour of the motion. So agreed. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Terry. Item number 16 is another notice of motion.
I was meant to wind up on the motion, if that's fine.
Great, apologies, Terry. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chair. Well, first of all, I sincerely, everybody knows my record in this House. I've been very passionate about benefits. I've been very passionate about the impact that the welfare reform has had on so many in our society who are in dire straits. And I know tonight's motion was brought forward highlighting the cost of living crisis, the impacts of what the Ukraine crisis, the prices gone through the roof and the recent revolving doors in Westminster. No, talk about the hokey cookie. One time managed to get in the door and out the door, and then it's like Lanigan's ball, one stepped in and one stepped out again. But it is very important, and tonight I'm heartened by the support that we've had in this chamber. But my overall aim, and I'm sure members here at present, we need to short circuit the process to get the benefits and whatever people are entitled to and the promises of help. We need to get it delivered now. And if the government in London can get a process to short circuit and get the much needed help out to the people, I think that's my driving force behind this motion. And again, I'd say everybody knows where I come from. I've been very passionate about welfare reform and the knock-on effects it's had and all other aspects. And as I say, I'm going to say no more. It's no point. I'm on the soapbox, but it's a subject that's so dear to my heart. And with so many councillors in the chamber and public reps, we're getting inundated with cries for help. So if there's anything that can be short-circuited, and by seeking the support of the other 10 councils across Northern Ireland, at least we stand in a united voice in these stark, difficult times. And thank you very much, sir.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And apologies, Terry, for the oversight not bringing you in.
No problem.
In the chamber. Thank you.
Thanks to everybody again.
Okay, thank you. We move on to item number 16, which is another notice of motion, the electronic travel authorisation motion received from Councillor McAteer, and it will be heard in the chamber tonight. Councillor McAteer, can you read your motion? Speak to it and advise who'd be seconding, please.
Okay, Chair, thank you for that. My motion, I'll read it first, and it'll be seconded by Councillor Gary Stokes. I am invoking this for the Council that this Council strongly rejects the intentions of the United Kingdom Government to introduce electronic travel authorisation for international and non-Irish EU citizens entering Northern Ireland from the Republic. That this Council write to the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, informing him of the serious damage this course of action would inflict upon our business, tourism and healthcare sectors. That this Council also write to the Minister for Justice in the Republic, urging her not to facilitate or cooperate with the imposition of such travel requirements at points of entry or exit into or out of the Republic if enacted by a UK government. Furthermore, that this Council believes the imposition of an application process and accompanying charges would be tantamount to an act of legislative sabotage, potentially destroying the post-conflict gains in attracting tourists and business travellers alike to Northern Ireland over recent years. Chairman, my motion comes as a result of the UK government's proposal to amend the Nationalities and Borders Bill, which would require non-Irish, non-British or non-EU citizens to apply for an electronic travel authorisation application prior to entering Northern Ireland from the Republic. If passed without amendment, in its current form, this reckless bill will impact many sectors and cause damage to the Northern Ireland economy. In relation to tourism, this will sever the arterial route from the only true international airport servicing the tourism sector here, which is Dublin. Our tourism industry will be strangled by the bureaucracy and the charges proposed. Tourism Northern Ireland's position and figures on this estimate over 500,000 visitors per year are involved, and a substantial number will simply not be bothered complying and coming. They estimate the loss, when if introduced, to be £10 million per annum to the economy. Incredible amount of money. This Council on Tourism NI have invested heavily with outstanding success in developing tourism as a major economic driver. To jeopardise this with a bill that cannot be enforced on the border is, as I stated in the wording, an act of legislative sabotage. Many in our area and throughout Northern Ireland have also invested in the tourism product, and to see this being undermined by a UK government is simply unforgivable. Not only tourism will be affected, but also residents from the south, 9% of whom are non-EU and traverse the border regularly, either through their employment, services or indeed family connections. And I think of my own two sister-in-laws, one who's French and the other's Polish, as examples. UK and Irish governments have existing bilateral agreements in place to fully protect the common travel area between the two countries. This works without adding any further impositions. With this in mind, I would appeal to the Secretary of State to listen to what has been said on this across the political spectrum, both here and in Great Britain. If the UK government insists on imposing this, I believe it is the duty of the Department of Justice and the Republic not to cooperate in any way with its implementation or in information sharing with visitors to these shores. This serves absolutely no purpose, this bill, and I urge you to support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Who's seconding your motion?
Yes, Councillor Stokes.
Councillor Stokes. Councillor Stokes, you're seconding the motion. Do you want to say
Sure. Informally second the motion. I want to first of all thank Declan for bringing it forward. I know he's put a lot of work into this and done his research. Sure, I mean, we as a council, and I mean, a lot of us spent a lot of time trying to promote tourism and trying to attract tourists into our district and help our local tourist providers. You know, getting people off the plane, something we've talked about for many years, getting them up from Dublin Airport, it's less than an hour into South Armagh from Dublin Airport and getting it into South Down and South Armagh, getting those tourists. What's this going to do? People aren't going to bother. It's another, they'll already, if they've applied for visas or whatever to get in into Ireland, they're not going to go and do this any further. They'll just not come. Or as Declan said, they'll ignore it. So it certainly does nothing to help what we're trying to do as promote Newry-Moran Down as a premier tourist destination. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. Sorry, I can't see you on the screen.
Councillor Owen.
Thanks very much, Chair. The SDLP are going to think I've got it in for them this evening, so apologies about this.
Yep.
After reading this motion, I thought I would do a little bit of digging. The UK government released a policy paper on ETAs in February this year. I have noted that this is coming on the back of the Nationality and Borders Act 2022 that travelled through the UK Parliament in the session 2021-22. While I recognise that the two SDLP MPs voted against this bill, which is now an act, I am surprised at the strength of disdain shown by the SDLP over the ETA system, and here's why. The ETA is mentioned explicitly in the Act, Part 6, Section 75, Part 1A, in case you're interested. Yet when looking through the Hansard, I see no contributions from the two SDLP MPs raising the concerns of the motion. Given the strength of feeling towards the ETA system by the SDLP, would the House of Commons not have been the better and more appropriate place to raise this matter when the bill was travelling through that very House? Or is it more the case that the SDLP has thought on this after the fact? Because I can tell you one thing for certain, the Home Office will not take one jot of a notion of a letter coming from Newry-Moran Down Council, but it would have taken much more interest in listening to MPs in the Chamber. As I see it, the ETA system does not affect British or Irish residents and therefore does not breach the Common Travel Area or the Belfast Good Friday Agreement. Therefore, the DUP will not be supporting this motion, and as our MPs stated when they spoke in the proper House on the bill in the House of Commons, and they also spoke in the House of Lords, we will take the security and safety of the UK borders very seriously, whether it be the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland border or that of the British Channel. Both need to be rigorously and equally protected. The system is successfully in place in the USA, Canada, Australia and New Zealand to keep their countries safe and secure. And in fact, I have used it myself with no inconvenience, simply done in 5 minutes. If someone is legitimately coming to the UK, they won't mind and will only inconvenience those who illegitimately come. And for us, if it increases our border integrity, we're all for it.
Bit of order, folks, please. Bit of order. You might get away with that in the House of Commons, you not get away with it here. Okay. Bit of order, please. A comment from Councillor Hannah. Councillor Riley.
Yes, thanks very much.
Your computer not working tonight, Henry, no?
No, I left it in my own car and I ended up, I had to bring my daughter's car here. Okay. I took the car away and wasn't back in time. To 100% agree with what Councillor Owen said, you know, we're talking about promoting tourism. And over the last number of years, the big growth area has been in tourists coming from GB, England, Scotland and Wales. And the Alliance Party, Sinn Féin, the SDLP and the rest, they want the rigorous implementation of the Northern Ireland Protocol that will lead to really intrusive luggage checks. Can't bring guide dogs in, can't bring pets in. And you just want that rigorously implemented. That will drive people away and has already stopped travellers coming from GB. But yet, a 5-minute entry on a laptop or on a phone to get your electronic travel authorisation thing, that we all do for other countries. I've done it for the States and elsewhere. That's offensive to the SDLP. It's going to destroy the economy. Well, you just want the rigorous implementation of something that is destroying our economy. So I just, the double standards is just staggering, Chairman, and I would ask Declan to take a really hard look at himself and what his party is trying to represent here. It's just nonsense.
Bit of order, please.
And Chairman, as Catherine pointed out, my colleague Catherine pointed out, you know, the SDLP, they were there, but the Sinn are sitting out in the hall complaining, but taking their salary. And then they're talking about they won't go into Stormont. This country's just full of hypocritical parties, Chairman. Mm-hmm. That's the long and the short.
Right. Well, I think you're deviating slightly off the agenda there, Henry. Well,
thanks very much for your, thanks very much for letting me in, Chairman.
Okay, Councillor O'Murray, please.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. More than happy to support the motion. Thanks, Declan, for bringing it. I think you spoke very wisely and sensibly on it. And I think the big danger is that it would preclude people from travelling to these shores and to visiting this fine country. Very disappointed in some of the comments by Catherine and Henry. Not overly surprised, and you know, it'll just, maybe I don't know what way this gets reported in the media, but I can see great merit in the motion. So, my hoo, Declan.
Okay, thanks. Well, Councillor Taylor.
Chair, thank you. Chair, I won't be supporting the motion. I have to say, I feel the language associated with it is quite strong as well. I don't think this poses the threat that Councillor McIntyre makes it out to be. Certainly the government have given an assurance that there won't be checks on this. You know, people aren't going to be stopped at the border or asked to display papers or anything of that nature. It's the UK government protecting our borders and making sure that anybody that visits, you know, either Northern Ireland or the rest of the UK are doing so in a way that's deemed proper. So we've all travelled in various places across the world and we've been required to sign paperwork or fill in paperwork before entering that respective country. So this isn't anything different to what any other nation in does. So I think, you know, some of the language that's been used is quite, you know, it's over the top, really. But I do believe that the assurances that have been given will come to fruition. And as Henry did say, you know, and it's probably the most ironic thing, we do see day and daily the protocol affecting our citizens here in Northern Ireland. And I don't see the vociferous opposition coming from people like the SDLP and other parties that have been mentioned that is having a major impact on us on a day and daily basis. And I just wish they showed the same passion for that as they do on issues like this that aren't going to have the impact that the protocol is having on a day and daily basis on the people of Northern Ireland. So I think they should reflect on these type of issues and see where the priorities are, because this doesn't pose a threat that's been outlined here this evening. So we won't be supporting the motion. Chair, thank you.
Gentlemen and ladies, can we please a bit of order in the chamber? Okay. If we don't have order, we don't have anything. Councillor McMurray.
Generally supportive of the motion. I'm not sure if Councillor Owen has Stephen Farry's comments on it unanswered, but know that they were made. But anyway, I suppose it lands into a party of open movement and ease of travel. And there's definitely concerns about how the ETAs will affect tourism, the tourism industry, but also that these journeys happen for a wide variety of reasons and are often part of daily life. and you know, the particular challenges, as we all know, that that in Northern Ireland and Ireland, and how we approach it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. I was going to save a point for the next motion, but I think the finance aspects of this need to be considered as well, so I'd make it here. I know that the tourism target for Ireland's Ancient East and is a target of £6.54 billion and 12 million visitors a year, which is a 12% increase on what it was 2 years ago. I know that that, for instance, Killarney has six times more tourists than Northern Ireland has as a whole, and that County Kerry has 13 times more visitors than Northern Ireland has as a whole. We don't need to be putting obstacles in the way of the tourism industry in Northern Ireland. This is far too big an industry and far too important in terms of what will make our economy tick in years to come. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Tenney.
Yeah, very briefly, Chairman. I'm going to assume that Big Glynn shares the views of Big Henry, because they're sharing a laptop. And I just find it simply incredible. Their attitude and their view on an issue such as this, less than 2 weeks after that hotel application from Warren Park was passed. I just find it bewildering that such an attitude can come on here that will actually do nothing other than put people off from coming anywhere near the district. And I think them two men and their party colleagues need to go and have a good long look at themselves and just ask themselves how accurately and how well are they actually representing their constituents in Mourne, the people who will directly benefit from the jobs that this wonderful new hotel in Mourne Park will eventually bring. So, shocked, but not surprised. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tinley. I think we all need to be cognizant of the fact that there are discussions ongoing at the minute. Mr. Shefcovic made it clear today that he felt that he would have a solution to the whole problem within a fortnight. So we'll start the clock today and we'll see how we get on the fortnight. Maybe we'll all be happy clappy this time next month and everybody will be on the same page. But we need to remember the fact that we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Brexit. So in defence, to be fair, of our two party colleagues in Westminster, the most important thing was that they were there to vote, and they did vote. So speaking of votes, we have obviously division in the chamber, so we're going to have to take this to a vote. Just do a roll call.
I can't resist the request for a wind-up, given what was said, Chair.
Sorry, well...
Our sum-up.
I'll let you come back to sum up, and then we go to a roll call. Okay, Declan? Go ahead.
Sorry, which one? Roll call first.
Okay, Dagan, we'll have to do the roll call first, then I'll bring you in for...
No, I had thought, Chair, that the summing up for a vote would be the democratic way to do it.
Yeah. Dagan, you go ahead and sum up, and then we'll take it to vote. Yeah,
I'm delighted, actually, at the reply. Very, very encouraged by the number of people who have the wit and the wisdom to see the advantages in the motion that brought to council this evening. First of all, I will address Councillor Owens, or Owen, she's no S, which doesn't necessarily mean no sense, but on this occasion, unfortunately, it is no sense either. Just for your information, Councillor Owens, an amendment tabled by the Alliance Party, thank you, Labour and the Lib Dems, was not accepted for debate. So much for British democracy in your Parliament. So then we move on. Councillor Hannah hadn't really anything to offer. Councillor Riley, unfortunately, Councillor Riley used to have a bit of common sense when he was an independent, but sadly now this seems to have left him. And as Councillor Tinley correctly said, when you're supposed to be defending our tourist destination in the Mourns, hardly a great advert for it from the two councillors present. While the rest of us, Sinn Féin included, try to take Northern Ireland out of the economic doldrums that it found itself in for many, many years. But don't listen to me necessarily when voting on this. Listen to one of your own finest, Lord Brookborough, who vehemently opposed this in the House of Lords, and, along with Baroness Ritchie, of course, and many of the other sensible lords. So it's not all one road. The Northern Ireland Tourism Alliance, in their document produced in August, again are vehemently against this, saying it was an absolute abhorrence and would actually ruin all the gains gained over this last 20, 25 years. So I'm sure you're very proud of what you are backing tonight, but I am equally proud of my proposition, and I hope to put it to the floor.
Thank you, Councillor. Now, put it to a vote by a roll call. Sarah?
Councillor Andrews?
For the motion.
Councillor Brennan?
For.
Councillor Burgess is absent. Councillor Byrne? Councillor Casey?
For.
Councillor Clark? Yeah, I think it's frozen. Councillor Kern? Councillor Devlin?
For.
Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Finnegan?
For.
Councillor Gallagher?
For.
Councillor Gibbons?
For.
Councillor Hanlon?
For.
Councillor Hanna?
Against.
Councillor Hart?
For.
Councillor Howell?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
For.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Malone?
For.
Councillor McAteer?
For.
Councillor McAvoy?
For.
Councillor McKee? Yeah, he's online. Councillor McKee? Councillor McKevitt?
For.
Councillor McMurray?
For.
Councillor Moore?
Against.
Councillor Mulberry?
For.
Councillor Murphy?
For.
Councillor O'Hare?
For.
Councillor O'Murray?
For.
Councillor Owen?
Against.
Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice?
For.
Councillor O'Hahn?
For.
Councillor Savage?
For.
Councillor Sharvin?
For.
Councillor Stokes?
For.
Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Tinley?
For.
Councillor Traynor?
For.
Okay, so I have 32 for and 6 against.
Okay, the motion's carried. Okay, folks, wee bit of order, please. I know the entertainment value is good, but we have to get on with the business. Okay. Item number 17 is notice of motion, inclusion of counties Armagh and Down in Ireland's Ancient East destination marketing brand, received from Councillor Byrne. This will be heard in the chamber this evening. And Councillor Byrne, can you read out your motion, speak to it, and tell me who will be seconding your motion, please?
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. Hold on, just till I knock off these notifications coming up inside. The motion reads, this council recognises the four key pillars of Ireland's Ancient East, Ancient Ireland, Early Christian Ireland, Medieval Ireland and Anglo-Ireland, align with and strengthen our district's tourism offering. This council supports the inclusion of counties Armagh and Down in the Ireland's Ancient East destination market and brand. And Chair, I know from the outside, I'm going to say, I know some people would be sick of listening to me speaking about South Armagh tourism. Yes, my area has some of the most compelling tourism assets on the island of Ireland. Yes, it has some of the most historic sites that outdate the pyramids of Giza. And yes, it must be included proudly and prominently in the council's tourism strategy. But this motion isn't about said Armagh. It's not about the council's tourism strategy. It's not even about this district solely. It's about harnessing the potential of this entire region and making a bid for counties Armagh and Down to enter Ireland's Ancient East destination market and brand. Chair, that's where my focus lies and the focus of my party lies. The SELP has been working with local tourism providers, statutory agencies, in building a strategy to significantly and sustainably boost cross-border tourism along the East Border region. The motion I propose tonight represents an ambitious aspiration for our district and for our broader region. This motion recognises the synchronicity between the tourism offering of Armagh and Down and all four pillars of Ireland's Ancient East: Ancient Ireland, Anglo-Ireland, Medieval Ireland and Early Christian Ireland. Each of these four pillars of Ireland's Ancient East can be found either within our district or within a stone's throw of it. From Viking history, Norman castles in Carlingford, St Patrick's resting place here in Downpatrick where we sit tonight, Éireann Macha, the seat of ancient royal kings in Armagh, historical sites in my own area of South Armagh where there's an array of Neolithic court tombs, passage tombs, dolmens that give us a snapshot of our district over 8 millennia, 8,000 years. A time past that's spectacularly brought to life through a collection of tours by South Armagh's very own historian, Una Walsh. So if anybody gets a chance to go on one of those tours, I'd advise you to grab it. You won't regret it. The tourism offering within Armagh and Down is as rich as it is diverse and presents a unique opportunity for the history and heritage of Ulster to secure a more prominent placement within Ireland's Ancient East. The Orange Order was founded in Loch Gall. In Armagh City, the seat of Anglican Church of Ireland holds the remains of Brian Boru, the High King of Ireland, which represents a complete confluence of cultures. The Quaker village of Bessbrook manufactured linen and produced granite that was exported across the world. The Act of Union was drafted in the nearby Derrymore House. We have an opportunity, through this motion, to harness the power of our shared heritage and demonstrate that a rising tide really can lift all boats. Chair, in his maiden speech to the House of Commons over 40 years ago, Seamus Mallon quite rightly pointed to the fact that our history belongs to us all, simply by virtue of the fact that there are sites within our district, sites in South Armagh alone, which predate Britain in Ireland, the Vikings in Ireland, and even the Celts in Ireland. We are very definitely a part of Ireland's Ancient East, and it's time we sought to make that official so that we can reap the very clear dividend for the communities that we all serve. Chair, Laura Devlin will be seconding the motion.
Thanks, Pete. Laura, you're seconding the motion. Are you happy to speak on it?
Yeah, I am indeed, Chair. Thank you. Thanks very much for that. And thanks to Pete for tabling this motion this evening. As the SDLP's spokesperson for hospitality and tourism, I'm delighted that this is before us. I could actually talk about tourism all day, but I promise, Chair, I'll not keep you all night. We're already at 20:08. So I suppose in summary, tourism is our biggest economic driver. We've seen a huge increase in domestic tourism on the back of COVID, but we must continue to lobby, push and do all in our power to expand our tourism offering if we want this industry to be truly sustainable. Over the last number of years, tourism and hospitality were hit particularly bad. Between Brexit, recovering from COVID, staff shortages and huge increases in the cost of doing business, many continue to struggle, which is why investing in our tourism industry is money well spent. We need to look at new and innovative ways to find that balance between expanding our tourism offering while protecting and preserving our stunning natural surroundings. Our mountain ranges, stunning landscapes, renowned food and drink offering, as well as our emphasis on golf, coastal sports and activity tourism, they're only a few of our main tourism pools. However, we must think beyond what we currently have and look at how that attraction can be even bigger. We want the world to recognise and appreciate the beauty of Newry Mourne and Down. We know Newry Mourne and Down can be that premier tourism destination. We have seen in the past how actions taken by this council can be a catalyst for sustainable change. The investment in Newcastle's Promenade all those years ago and the streetscape was a catalyst for increased investment in the town. It's now a premier destination for local eateries, cafes and still has that untapped potential. Ireland's Ancient East is a globally tested market and brand. We have seen how tourism exploded on the back of the rebranded Wild Atlantic Way. There is so much heritage that we have, even in this council chamber, dating back to the early centuries, that is part of Ireland's Ancient East and should be a part of the official market and brand. As councillors, we are proud of our district and we will each want to showcase that to the world. So let's ensure that we as councillors here tonight are doing all we can to maximise every single tourism opportunity for the betterment of our district. Let's remember that by supporting our tourist offering, we're supporting local families, local businesses and local producers who know this land, who have worked this land and who love this land with every fibre of their being. Investing in our local tourist offering is investing in these local people, Chair. This council has established itself as a council that focuses on tourism, that knows tourism and that drives tourism so well. So let's build upon this by including counties Armagh and Down in the Ireland's Ancient East Destination market and brand. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Laura. Who have we got in now? Cadogan.
Thanks, Chair. I actually proposed this back in 2016, but the motion didn't actually gain traction at that stage, so I'm truly delighted to see it here tonight. I've already covered the fact that Ireland's Ancient East has turned out to be the best funded and most successful Irish tourism enterprise since Ireland went into the tourism trade, and they do it a hell of a lot better than we do, and we need to learn from them. But just looking at geography, County Down is the most eastern county in Ireland, and not to be included in Ireland's Ancient East makes no sense. If you look at the recording of history, you'll see how Downpatrick was recorded by the Greek explorer Pytheas in 330 before Christ, and how it had appeared in Roman maps in 1115 AD.
The whole British, it was called the British Isles.
And when, after the fall of Navan Fort, Downpatrick, of course, became the capital of Ireland and the seat of the Irish kings until the mid-1660s, until the Battle of Dromore, when the O'Neills took over. St. Patrick landed in the Slaney, just down the road, and started his mission to Ireland here in the Downpatrick area, and went on around Ireland, finally ending up being buried at the cathedral up the road here. In the year 400, the kings of Ulid, who at that stage ruled the western Scottish, west of Scotland, the Isle of Man, and were the High Kings of Ireland, in 400 made an alliance with the Picts and were part of the great barbarian crusade that drove the Romans out of Britain. The Ancient East would be nothing without County Down and indeed Armagh as well. The 300-year war against the Vikings, in which the Ulid had 9 naval victories against the Vikings, ending up with the Battle of Guns Island off the Arglass coast, and went on to destroy the Viking city of Dublin the following year. There is more ancient history in County Down and County Armagh than there is in all the counties in Ireland put together. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for that little snapshot of history there. I think you're vying for a role as a tour guide in Downpatrick very soon, the way you're coming across there. Very informative. Thanks very much, Cadogan. We now move on to Councillor O'Murray.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yeah, our party's more than happy to support this motion. We think that there's great merit in it. And again, thanks to Pete for bringing it. I spoke to Pete off before the meeting about this motion, and we would have been more than happy to second it. I know Laura had signaled she would second it first, and have no problem with that at all. Just to say, we're more than happy. Would like to, if possible, Pete, offer a slight amendment without diluting the integrity of the motion. We'd like to amend that the council writes to the Irish government and asks them to implement, to make sure that Armagh and Down are indeed included in the Ancient East marketing brand. And if you're happy with that, just before I wrap up, just to agree 100% with what Pete's talking about from a South Armagh perspective, and I know I've spoken with some of the council staff on this. For we of us that have to live in South Armagh and deal with tour guides and deal with teachers and deal with community groups and deal with hotel owners and deal with publicans, who scratch their heads when they see a Visit Mourne sign in South Armagh, and it's, with the best will in the world, it looks like complete incompetence. You know, it looks like somebody in the council doesn't know the difference between where the Mourne Mountains are and where Sleafgullion is, or where South Armagh is. I think that I said that this should go out to DEA Fora very, very quickly for a good hot debate on it, to talk about what areas feel that they're being covered by tourism branding in our council and what areas don't. I'm not, and I said to the people I was talking to in the council, I'm not trying to say that South Armagh is any better than any other DEA within our council, but we certainly haven't missed out on the name of the council back in 2015. We're keen not to miss out again on the tourism brand. We believe passionately, as Pete has more than eloquently put, Una Walsh has been giving tours in South Armagh now for years and years. She's been involved with our school in Gaelscoil. The children in our, who are growing up in our area, know the history of South Armagh and indeed County Armagh. And as Cadogan says, the same's happening in County Down. So there is utmost importance in this, and there's massive, massive potential on the line when you think of where South Armagh can get to in terms of tourism. And we don't want anything holding it back. So more than happy to support. And Pete, I hope the amendment's all right for you.
You happy to accept the amendment, Pete?
Yeah, happy to accept Barrow's amendment, yeah.
Councillor Hannah.
Chair, we in the DUP, I don't see any really issue with us here. And I think mutual benefit there. I know it's tourism and it's an economic generator for the area. I think I was down with Marie one time. We were on a visit and we stopped at a brewery coming up the road, which I think has now disappeared.
Just looking going up.
I don't know what happened to it, Marie. But I mind been down there, and I tell you, seeing what they were proposing in the Agent Eastern, and I thought at the time that to extend it north of the border wouldn't do a bit of harm. I'm not sure if, is Armagh really in the east? I'm not sure. You know, they're sort of in the middle. County Down, as Cadogan says, is on the east coast and it's the furthest east. But at saying all that there, I tell you, it's an economic driver. I see no issue with it whatsoever, and we're happy to support it.
After we check that paper.
Thanks, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. Yep, happy to support the motion. I know that Pete has spoken on this previously. And you know, certainly, you know, as a driver for economic, you know, prosperity for our district, tourism is one of those key objectives for ourselves, and if this helps obviously do, you know, drive that and helps improve that for us, you know, we should look towards implementing what's been proposed by Pete. I'm not sure, you know, how difficult it will be. Obviously the representations will need to be made by the council to ensure that we can obviously, you know, ensure that what's proposed here tonight actually does come to fruition. But certainly happy to support it. We have much potential as a district, you know, from a tourism point of view, particularly in my own areas, as Pete said, we represent South Armagh, and there's much to offer in that area in its own regard. So anything that we can do to maximise that potential, obviously we should take that. So happy to support the motion.
Thanks, David. Willie, you had a comment in there, but was it just to let us know how you voted in that last vote?
No, that was a delay there, Chair. I wouldn't mind speaking this.
No problem at all. Okay.
Too bad. Not as bad as what I outlined. Totally supportive of the motion. It's something that we have, as Glenn has talked about. It's something that we were down in the Boyne Valley and saw the potential of that. That's a number of years ago. That must be well over 3 years ago, 4 years maybe. But the potential is massive for ourselves. And I'd just like to say, under the framework of the outworkings of the Good Friday Agreement, you know, it was agreed that there would be greater opportunities for cooperation between the North and the South, and the Good Friday Agreement established tourism as one of the six areas of cross-border cooperation. Tourism Ireland promote tourism on the island as a single entity. And obviously, the inclusion of Down and South Armagh in that Brandon would be immense for us moving forward. And to have sorry, been outlined, the a world-famous site of pilgrimage and the reputed burial location of St. Patrick. The history of Ireland's conversion and its reputation as the island of saints and scholars cannot be understood without while excluding the area of Dunpatrick and Armagh. So it's essential, you know, that we're part of that brand. The introduction of Christianity has left County Down with a rich Christian heritage. With St. Patrick, with St. Donard and St. Killen in Newcastle. You see very little on the last two saints, very little interpretive signage. It just seems to be ignored by our own council. If it's not part of, you know, this branding, I've seen very little of any other branding with it. With passage tombs on St. Donard and St. Cullen, or Sleep Onion, with the dolmens and pre-Christian settlements, as far as outlined as well, links to, and Pete as well, links to Cuchulainn, Finn McHugh, and then you've the Norman invasions, and the associated castles, like the Dundrum Castle, you've Claw Castle, and a number of other different settlements. So you've also then the Vikings invasion, the United Irishmen, women, the plantation of Ulster, you know, St. Donard's Monastery at Macra outside Newcastle. But other places, there's numerous places, and obviously we're just touching on this subject. But the other areas, in Chappie, through Wales, Ballynoe, Stone Circle, and numerous other early sites. And it's just an excellent initiative. And I, by including, you know, down in Armagh, you're enhancing that brand, so it's very important that we're included in that brand. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Clark. Councillor Andrews.
Well, thanks very much, Chair. I must say, I welcome the motion. And I just was listening to the various speakers there, and I support the principles espoused in the motion that has presented. And boys being since my time in council, like over 11 years, I've been a firm supporter.
Sorry, we can't pick you up. The line's exceptionally poor.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's clear, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the time lapse between London and here. Just more or less what it is, I support the principles espoused in the motion and as presented. Over the 11 years, I've been on the council, I've been a firm supporter of developing our tourist strategy and making our district a premier destination for people from abroad, and more since the COVID, you know, a lot of people are looking into staycation, and I think bringing in tourists, you know, and that, you know, expanding, you know, is a great thing. I know, and I'm not going to sound like a parrot here, because I know so many different historical locations and the history of the district has been mentioned, and I think extending into Ireland's ancient east will be a bold move. I was actually on the road to Cork the other day, and near enough go through every county, we've seen Ireland's ancient east, and it will be a bold move. And, you know, when I attended the launch of the Wild Atlantic Way and Ennis Diamond way back in 2013 and all, the promotions, they done powerful well, and, the promotions, you would felt the hair start in the back of your neck, they done extra well. And even at Holiday World in Dublin, when myself and Councillor Burgess, man, our council stand, nearly more than down, the footfall that we got to our stand over the 2 days in Holiday World was phenomenal. We actually were other councils that were envying the footfall. But again, as I say, I wasn't intent to speak in this, so I think I support the ethos, and I say we've done a lot of hard work on our tourism strategy, okay. And think by the Ireland the Ancient East, that's another level to achieve. Thank you. That's been for now.
Thanks, Terry. I don't think we have any more speakers. That appears to be fully supported in the chamber. Are we in agreement? Okay. Before we go any further, do you want to wind up, Pete?
Yeah, I'll be very brief. I just want to touch on a few points that some of the councillors said, and thanks very much for the support on the motion. I know it's a motion that Cadogan opened up first and said that he brought in 2016. Unfortunately, Cadogan, I wasn't here in 2016, but I would have been fully supportive of it. And when he went on about the list of historical events, you know, they fascinate me. I've read through them and I've listened to them on tours, and I think it's absolutely fascinating that the level of ancient history that was played out in these two counties is unbelievable. And that's why I sort of promote, selfishly promote Una Walsh Tours. I think you should, all 41 councillors should actually go on it for free. So it wouldn't cost the council anything, to go on those tours. And it touches on the, you know, on the Anglo-Irish history and the medieval and ancient history of this island. He also touched on the O'Neill clan and the history of those that are the vault buried in Craigan and the flight of O'Neills to the continent. And we talk about other tourism product across the world. And you have the likes of America, you know, with 300-year history or whatever. You know, they buy into the ancient history of Ireland. And it's something that we should be proudly promoting. You know, you come around some of the sites in Slievegullion in South Armagh, and you're talking about 8 millennium of history there. I think it's absolutely fascinating. And we really are Ireland's ancient East, and I think it's a shame that we haven't been a part of it yet. Barra's proposal, yeah, happy to take it, right to the Irish government, to the Irish Minister for Tourism down the south, and engage, because this is all about taking a position for this council and then trying to build on that position. It doesn't secure anything overnight, but it locks in the position that Cadogan says should have been locked in 2016. So happy to take that amendment from Barra. Barra touched on the tourism brand, and I stated at the start, I wasn't going into that. We are fighting for inclusive tourism branding, but this is a brand that everyone can buy into. And I think we can see that right across the chamber tonight when we see unanimous support right across all political parties for this. It's definitely something that we can buy into, a shared tourism product that we can proudly all sell under, proudly and confidently sell under. Just briefly again, Glyn touched on it. He gave us full support, but he nodded to does Armagh's legitimacy to be part of it in terms of the East. I can tell you, if you come and see some of the offerings in Armagh, it is firmly in Ireland's ancient East. And I'll take you on a tour if you want to take me up on that.
Just one thing, Chair. Possibly would it be worth writing to the ABC Council because they're part of Armagh as well.
Yep, happy to take that. Happy to take that, yep.
Happy to take that as an additional amendment?
Yep, happy to take that and write to ABC Council. Yeah.
No, you're okay. Okay, so
yep.
Councillor Hannah, you're proposing it'll be right to ABC Council as well to get them engaged. Okay, just for the record. Okay, thank you.
And David sort of touched on, you know, obviously backing David Taylor, but, you know, what's proposed, how does it get enacted? And that's where I want to come back to. This is a council direction now. The political parties have supported that this is the council's position, so it takes the politics out of the decision, and that the council would love to push this forward. So any engagement we can have on a council basis, individually, with the Irish government, with all different parties, north and south, we should try and advance this because it's in all of our interests. And again, just a note, I don't want to leave one speaker out. Willie, and go through the list of sites, he talks about, you know, the folklore of the area as well, and when you sum up and think that we've got the burial ground of St. Patrick, Brian Boru, and the stomping ground of Cú Chulainn, I mean, it's a no-brainer, an absolute no-brainer. So yes, I could listen to Willie talking about all those sites and Cadogan talking about all the facts over a pint of beer any night. So yes, thanks very much for the support for the motion, and I accept the two amendments.
Pete, I'm going to bring Councillor Tinley in. I think he might have had connection issues with the chat, so on behalf of the independents, I'm sure, Jarlis, you want to say a few words on this?
Yeah, no, just offer my full support for the motion as well, Michael. Listen, this issue had come up, and Councillor Clark, I'm assuming, would testify to this. It came up a couple of times at the Louth Newry Morning Down joint working group that meets bi-monthly, and it didn't really seem to gain much traction other than that we were told that this was the preserve of the government in Dublin, and it wasn't really our place to be dictating to them how they spent the taxpayers' money of the people on the other side of the border, which I was very disappointed in. Now, I'm sure if I have got that wrong, the officers, Connor or Marie, could come in there and actually confirm what the position was when this was previously discussed at this the working group. But no, very, very supportive. I mean, I do have to laugh when I hear Glyn trying to exclude Armagh, and when one considers that Athlone and other parts of Westmeath are very much in Ireland's ancient East. So fully support the motion. Thank you.
Councillor Tenney, well, look, we appear to have broad support within the chamber. In fact, unanimous support. I don't think you're any dissenting voices, so we duly the motion is carried. Okay, thanks, Pete. 18. Now move on to motion number 18, which is a notice of motion. Very straightforward, an invitation to Antishek. A notice of motion was received from Councillor Stokes. Councillor Stokes, can you read your motion? It's going to be heard tonight. Read your motion, speak to it, and advise who's seconding it, please.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. Thanks, everyone. The motion will be seconded by Councillor McAteer. The motion reads that, Chair, that this council write to Antishek Micheál Martin to cordially invite him to visit our district. Chair, our council and our predecessor councils have a long and very proud history of cross-border cooperation. We have many, too many to mention, current cross-border projects, but two I will name are the Narra Water Bridge, for example, and the Newry to Carlingford Greenway. I believe a visit from the Taoiseach would allow us to celebrate our cross-border work to date and plan for future cooperation. And certainly, Chair, based on the previous discussion, we have no shortage of places to show them around. So, Chair, I believe that they're giving the time of the evening. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, and who's seconding your motion? Councillor McAteer.
Yep. Yeah, Chair, and I'm going to be again brief, but I do think that it is totally in order to invite the Taoiseach here. After all, the Taoiseach was the one who announced in the Budget 2021 the South a £500 million of funding for the Shared Ireland Fund, now up to £1 billion. And this council benefits from that to the tune of a share of the £4.3 million allocated to local authorities for research and development, not to mention the Narra Water Bridge, the All Ireland Strategic Rail Review, which will affect us as well. So I have absolutely no hesitation in inviting the Taoiseach, whoever the Taoiseach may be, when the invitation is taken up to here. Mary Lou will be just as welcome as everybody else.
Okay. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. We in the DUP will neither be supporting nor going against it, so we won't know. Will we be abstaining? What we are objecting to is the inconsistency of what has been done in these motions tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Lewis's motion was sent straight to Good Relations, so it was. I believe this one here should have been sent straight to Good Relations as well. So, in protest to that, we will be leaving the chamber. We will not stay here.
Okay, that's very disappointing.
I've told you the reason there. It should have been sent to Good Relations there, to be fair.
Yeah, and duly noted.
It's a combination must go. The president of the union is a paper must go.
I'll fix the seat. Okay, any more? Councillor McMurray? Councillor Taylor?
It's more of a question. I'm neither. I have no problem with the motion at all. It's kind of Councillor McAteer should have touched on it, and Councillor Casey almost followed up on it as well. Is this an invitation to the Taoiseach's office, or is this an invitation specifically to Micheál Martin? I mean, I don't, either or doesn't terribly mind, and I hate to sound like a pedant, if that makes sense, but again, given that in a couple of in months' time, it's going to be Mr. Varadkar, and, well, you know, the democracy will be in voting processes will be as they are too.
My understanding is it'll be for the current Taoiseach, but if time delays impact on that, it'll be sent to the Taoiseach's office, I presume.
That's correct, Chair. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. But I think what Councillor McAteer was outlining, that the current Taoiseach has been instrumental in the Shared Ireland unit, which we have benefited from significantly. And just in relation to the two motions highlighted by the DUP tonight. The two motions were not akin. The two motions were totally different, but one was looking for a resource issue and how we would potentially look at that resource to look towards the celebration outlined in the initial motion. This was a very straightforward invitation
They were two totally different motions and were not very much akin. So therefore, I can understand the rationale for saying that one was treated differently from the other. They were treated differently because they were very different motions. And I take the guidance and advice from the officers based on where they should or should not go to. And I consistently try to stick with that as best I can. And where I have to make a decision, I would make it.
On that, Chair, it is difficult as someone that comes from a smaller party that whenever something seems to be directed to one committee and then gets changed last minute to be heard here, it does leave somewhat lack of time to prepare, maybe as thoroughly. If it wasn't for Cadogan's wealth of knowledge on the ancient days, we might have been somewhat floundering in that this evening,
no,
Chair.
So listen,
it's very difficult, Chair. Anyway, I'll stay here where I am. I'll not walk out.
I seek guidance, but I make my own mind up based on where I believe they're best to go to. Okay? And I don't think any of the motions that were heard tonight have nothing other than positive outcomes for our citizens, potentially. So, Councillor Taylor.
Sure, thank you. Charles, I didn't want to raise this tonight, but given that other councillors have compelled to say that they did feel there was a bit of inconsistency tonight in terms of your approach, and I have the highest respect for you as Chair, and I have to say that you've been, you know, worked very well with me as a councillor since you've taken on the role, but I was concerned about the fact that there was a last-minute decision to bring forward a motion that had originally been brought to committee. And I felt it was, you know, useful to be brought to committee, despite the fact that I obviously supported it tonight. I had my own motion brought forward, and it could have been discussed at full council. I'm not sure why it was brought to that committee, but others weren't. But listen, I don't want to go into too much detail on that, but I feel when other councillors have said that, I think it's important that it was noted that I did fear there was a bit of inconsistency in that approach tonight. But again, it's your discretion as Chair to do that, so I respect that. Chair, in terms of the motion before us, I I'm not supporting it. The lack of detail to start off with, again, Gary knows me long enough, and me and Gary have a good relationship, and I consider Gary to be a friend, but there wasn't much detail in the motion to start off with about what the fizzle would even entail. You know, there's always, particularly in the current political climate, you know, with a lot of sensitivities in politics in Northern Ireland, and really what I've heard tonight here is really a bit of a fizzle of the attractions and stuff like that anybody could do, so I'm not really still sure what the purpose of it is at this stage, and even the way we're actually doing this, because the UK government have invested multiple amounts of money over the years, but I've never seen this approach, you know, been brought regarding any UK Prime Minister. So I just genuinely fear there's a bit of politics at play here, you know, regarding the invite, and I'm just not sure what the purpose of it would be, to be honest with you. So I'm not supporting the request for the Taoiseach to visit. Again, I'm all for good cross-border relations. I think that benefits both jurisdictions, but I'm not sure what this would do in terms of benefiting the overall district, where we work as close as we can within the remits that we have, and that can continue. But as I say, I just don't feel it's necessary to offer an invitation at this stage to anyone in that regard. So we'll be supporting the motion.
Okay. Mr. Murphy.
Thanks, Chair. No, Sinn Féin will be supporting the motion. We will take this as an opportunity for whoever is the Taoiseach, that if they do respond positively, this will be an opportunity for us to reinforce the need for investment in the area, and also to showcase, you know, just exactly what we have. You know, so 100% we will support that motion.
Okay. There appears to be division in the chamber. Any more speakers before we take a vote? Before that, we'll get Gary to maybe come back a few of those and wind, please.
Yeah, Chair, you've already covered, on what motions were taken, that's not a decision for me, obviously, a decision for yourself, so I'll cover that. Also, in terms of detail, and I appreciate David's position, I do want to, you know, I think that'd be a matter for our council officials and the Taoiseach's office to work the detail. I mean, as I said, an opportunity to celebrate what the cross-border work we've done over many, many years, plus to plan ahead, because as Declan Murphy said, there are lots of things we still to do and can be doing. So I'll leave it there, Chair, but thanks for the broad support all across the chamber.
Okay. Well, we'll have to take it to a roll call then. So, Sarah.
Yep. Councillor Andrews.
Yes, I'm in favour of the motion. You can hear me.
Councillor Brennan.
Four.
Councillor Burgess is absent. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Casey.
Four.
Councillor Clark.
Four.
Councillor Kern. Councillor Devlin.
Four.
Councillor Enright is absent. Councillor Finnegan.
Four.
Councillor Gallagher is absent. Councillor Gibbons.
Four.
Councillor Hanlon.
Four.
Councillor Hannah is absent. Councillor Hart.
Four.
Councillor Howell.
Four.
Councillor Larkin.
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgner.
Four.
Councillor Lewis is absent. Councillor McGuinness.
Four.
Councillor Malone. Councillor Malone. Councillor McAteer.
Four.
Councillor McAvoy.
Four.
Councillor McKee. Councillor McKevitt.
Four.
Councillor McMurray.
Four.
Councillor Murray is absent. Councillor Mulberry.
Four.
Councillor Murphy.
Four.
Councillor O'Hare.
Four.
Councillor Murray. Councillor Murray. Oh. Councillor Owen and Riley are absent. Councillor Rice.
Four.
Councillor Rowan.
Four.
Councillor Savage.
Four.
Councillor Sharvin.
Four.
Councillor Stokes.
Four.
Councillor Taylor.
Against.
Councillor Tinley.
Four.
Councillor Trainer.
Four.
I have 29-4 and 1 against.
Okay, motion's carried. That's the end of the car for this evening. So thank you very much, folks. Safe home.
Thanks, all right, Chair. Everybody. See you soon. Bye.
Thank you, Terrence.
Thanks.